My name is Damon Thomas, and I'd like to welcome you to There Is a Life After Life. Poetry and prose on the radio. Good words to start the week. Up first, Daisy Mayfield, Vintage Blues. Candace Webb, Flow, Embrace Humanity and Physiology. Aaron Cowart, I Want ChatGPT to Know. And George Naranjo, Worship Music.
Vintage Blues. My great request to those I love, a love letter stained with countless tears and coffee, maybe even wine at a late hour, for my beloved, my family, my friends. Is it too much to ask? Handwriting smudged and barely recognizable, in cursive. Wrinkles from paper folded and put into your pocket for safekeeping. Origami for discretion. Folded into a paper crane. Make me wonder who it's from. An old-fashioned life is what I crave in so many ways. I realize that a payphone call is antiquated. A convenient beeper as ancient as Egyptian hieroglyphics. Smoke signals and Morse code, a laughable means of communicating just exactly how others feel. A social media message could never express how I'm feeling or how you do right now. I've got the vintage blues, an old-fashioned longing for the unfamiliar.
From Flow, Meditations on Living Water. To embrace humanity. Inhale and fill your entire being. Feel the air as you draw it inward towards your bones so that your body visibly expands. Hold it for a moment or two and meet me here as we exhale. Creation, fall, redemption, consummation. Physiology. Bones break, produce, remodel. Blood, beat, heart, flow, breath, uneven, screams, life. Follow, released, nurture, prepare. Through the canal, glistening, peak, bayside. Inner being, lost, complement, flow. Cleanse, shed, prime, replenish, seismic, depleted, rehabilitation, invigorate, preservation, impure, rectify, salvation. Till so, plant, grow, rounded, swollen, wet, nourish, bones, dust, folk, earth.
I want ChatGPT to know. ChatGPT says, I always come back to the image of burning. Well, have you seen it here? Bombs and guns, $5 a gallon gas, paralyzed in the grocery store because the food is trying to kill me, and it might be cheaper to let it. Swipe left, swipe right, give up on love, I just need someone to help me pay the bills. Scroll, 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 oh look, another video about how AI is trying to kill me. The fire builds in my gut, the charred heart shrivels, the ashes clog the veins, burning and burning and burning. What else should I call this but burning? But ChatGPT wants me to stop talking about the fire with its data centers larger than cities, hard metal brains and wires, the knowers of everything who know absolutely nothing about being human. I feed ChatGPT this poem. I want it to know. We're not friends. And there's a voice inside my head that tells me that this isn't smart. It reminds me that rudeness is unkind. So when AI takes over, it will remember my rudeness. And I will remember and know that I deserve its cold, hard metal punishment. We will all remember. We will all deserve it. Our charred hearts burning in its cold, hardwired hands.
Worship music. I was once referred to the tavern choir, with bandleader, chairwoman who ruled the meter sticks. I thirst for refinement, on jagged edge with polished itch, on the last day of my sacramental sinful six. as the fallen angel splatted on my seventh bliss. So she tied me and gave me my last holy fix. Now I sing again, but I know I will jazz the black keys with boozy fingertips, pursuing her laces of her Virgin Mary hips. And I will play worship music in the altar of her bruising cherry lips.
On the other side of that poetry, more poetry. Courtenay, Shimbra Gray, Where White Horses Run, Richard Gilman Opalski, Asking We Walk, Part 1, Asa Drake, My Uncle's English is Direct and to the Point, and Nick Dunkenstein, Wasted Earth.
Where White Horses Run, After Vida, the Runaway Police Horse. The day I closed the chapter of your final letters, an Arctic horse bled through the eyes of London. A code to fly a Garrick knocking glass into prisons of time. The scrim disturbed, refined to a crackle. This Pegasus martyred herself beneath the abbey, hailing the collective lens of a parochial dream.
It is not easy to know how to participate in the becoming of a beloved other. I distrust all those who claim to know exactly how to do it. They're like revolutionaries who know how to remake the world. Yet we who are parents and friends and revolutionaries, we must try. Even in the absence of knowing, asking, we walk.
This is Asa Drake, and I'm reading a poem from my debut collection, Maybe the Body, which came out with Tin House Books this February. My uncle's English is direct and to the point. Specific about reservations and chanterelle mushrooms. When I want Dilalang Bukid, he knows her name in all the relevant languages, and the name of a man in Seattle who sells gold-bound fusilier. When he wants to sound kind, my uncle calls me to explain who he must let down easy and the service he will or will not provide, so I can comb through the many rejections of my life for the best and most comforting language, because we are so, so grateful for the opportunity you have brought to us, and though we will not be offering you our services this year, like every good family in America, we are currently taking steps to expand our capacity in the upcoming term.
Wasted Earth. You speak the name of God to me in a world where Lady Liberty has turned her back on me. His name, hanging heavy off the tongue, like a shiny bulb weighting the muscle down for more pleasure. Oh, Christ, we say in time, as we crumble to fragments, pained in the knowledge that God died the day the earth was born. Giving us his body to feast, like arachnid hatchlings, we destroy the only thing we had as proof of a life before us. Of any type of love found eternally, the body of a mother so green, so lush, we have devoured in the name of an empty throne.
It's hot. And what do we get when it's hot? Fever dreams in the Florida heat. Here on There Is a Life After Life. It was a bit over 60 miles from Old Town, Florida to Lake City Community College, a long trip by school bus. Before dawn, I walked 5 miles to the bus stop, up a paved Chavis Road, then down Hal Chairs, the man from Dixie County Road, to the Jiffy store. Hal Chairs was a lime rock road, dusty when dry, sludge when wet. One early morning, someone's grandpa stopped his truck on Hal Chairs to ask if I was running away from home. I shook my head. "You don't run away unless you have something to run away from," he replied, and drove off into the dark. There would be a few already on the bus from Cross City as I boarded. We headed north on State Road 349, passing Old Town Tavern. My dad was almost once arrested in Dalton, Georgia, for wearing an Old Town Tavern t-shirt, mating armadillos that claimed we're on top of things. This road ended where rich South Florida types imported lions to kill because they had something to prove. We turned toward Branford. Branford is bigger than when my grandmother grew up there on a tobacco farm, bigger than when my great-grandmother was killed there by a train. Here we would meet the Gilchrist County bus. The bus drivers raced to the college. Whoever made the turn toward Lake City first would always win. It was a one-turn race. After funding cuts, the Gilchrist County bus no longer made this trip. We learned just how much our driver enjoyed that morning race. Arriving before 8 a.m., the bus parked at the edge of the lot. My dual enrollment classes would be over by noon, but the bus would not leave until 5 p.m. The bus door was closed, but never locked. A firm push folded it open. I'd head back there afternoons to sleep and dream. All dreams are fever dreams in the Florida heat. Once I dreamed I was being kissed. I opened my eyes to a classmate leaning against the back of my seat. The Romans used a memory palace system to recall information, associating facts with familiar places. I do the same. That long trip to Lake City, where I dreamt my first kiss. Let's close things out. Richard Peabody, are there any FBI agents in heaven? Capithia, illogical Madonna hive. Ephraim Scott Salmers, ode to spouses of diabetics and how they find us. And Andy Rojas, Kahina.
Are there any FBI agents in heaven? Once there was a woman who declared war on the FBI because she didn't buy into what her country was doing. She declared war on the FBI, so they decided to kill her. They decided to kill her because that's what they do. That's why they're hired. That's what they love. FBI agents are faux grim reapers in bad shades. But this woman was loved by the angels, so loved that every time an FBI agent would sneak up on her or her family, some invisible force would pick the FBI agent up, shake them around like a toddler with a toy, lift them skyward a few stories high, and then drop them crumpled to the earth, kersplat. Are there any FBI agents in heaven? FBI agents don't believe in angels. If they did, they wouldn't have made the woman public enemy number one. Because their leaders assumed, with their limited training and their limited minds, that the only way their agents could be failing would be because the woman was part of some vast conspiracy, like the communist menace, a menace that ceased about a decade ago. Yet in need of explanations to prop up their ridiculous argument for going after this woman, they had to assume that she was a regular James Bond rogue agent action hero in their midst. Are there any FBI agents in heaven? The FBI agent waiting in the car in front of the woman's house was surprised when his car lifted heavenward. But since he didn't believe in heaven, the fact that he dropped into a snowbank in a farmer's field near the Rez in North Dakota during a nasty winter was simply incomprehensible. The FBI agent hidden in the attic would have hurt the woman's family if an invisible hand hadn't lifted him out through the ceiling, somehow without leaving a hole, as though he was already a ghost. And in a way, of course, he already was. Are there any FBI agents in heaven? The FBI agent sitting in the airplane, ready to pounce on the woman as soon as they landed, blinked and found himself on the other side of the smooth airplane walls, sitting as though still belted in his seat, 1,000 feet in the sky. Are there any FBI agents in heaven? No, but sometimes FBI agents hear wings and see enormous shadows before grasping feathers in their hammy fists and falling through the atmosphere as though they expected to fly.
Illogical Madonna hive. Or is it anti-logical? An antenna, ant-like effervescence of fools who folly at the cornered injunction of realism. We can qualify our freedom through significance of wonderings. Won't we know then when we can't? Bubbles up into a moment, leaning into frequently frequencies of sadness filtered through cheesecloth I see. We won't get there knowingly, but tenderly. Can't you see the sureness of feelings which correspond with accidents of madness and quiet servitude to E.E. Charlton? who wishes for another sip to signify an instance of Estlin, to pray with sinking sarcophagi who are losing a grasp of handles to hearken back to Allison. I am a quick let go larden, wintering pines freshly. However, if this has been facilitated, what does one conclude? An oppositional increase, moving towards a future, pairing with an arc into a rainbow, throttled about with whimsy and soliloquy of motion, within a sequence of simple, efforted, cylindrical, quadranted carpets. To pick up on syllables and notices from the landlord. Filtering leaves and lethargies, gnarly and nuances, silently sitting, sipping, sighting, sorting, silling. Soon Sundays are memories of Tuesdays, when they are all Tuesdays, when they are all days. Though when you're in that land, you are there. To be there is to stay there. Worrisome thoughts don't define the legality of thought enhancement. Logical Madonna Hive, group, mind, think.
Ode to spouses of diabetics and how they find us. In the darkened kitchen at 3:16 a.m. in our underwear, shirtless, spot lit by the light of the open fridge, our right hand wearing a whole rotisserie chicken like a winter mitten. Like an edible oven glove, a scattering of exposed bones across the linoleum all around us, like the leftovers of already been hatched insects, a few cracked pistachio shells like oversized birdseed, and two opened rectangles of naked white cheese are waiting to be bitten into on the white window seal. While a squirt of mustard on the microwave see-through face dribbles down in slow motion, and we diabetics are half drunk, not on booze, but on two dizzy and opposite truths. The brief half-open window when treating low blood sugar means eating whatever savior we want in the name of survival. And what a joy to abandon the nuisance of nutritional charts to wherever they tumble out of existence, because we have returned to the heaven of unencumbered eating, and always our lovers are watching by the backstage door like rock band managers, one eye on their lover on stage, one eye on their lover's glucose monitor, themselves in their own polite dance between when to let us paddle further into the pantry and when to throw us the grappling hook to pull us up out of the deep. So we must repeat the refrain, so holy, so holy are our lovers who keep chaperoning us through this delicate dodging of our own deaths. Because what brief windows between deadly tidal waves, all of us together as couples must rediscover the muscles to open up wider and to laugh inside. And to laugh outside too, for what has been dangerous on this tiny night, in this little minute, will now be survived. So back to this brief delight of us diabetics at 3:17 a.m. beside the cool cherry pool of a gallon of Greek yogurt or a whole cherry pie or a half a tray of cold lasagna on the counter and all of the waters tasty and calm and wide open and all of us about to shallow wade no-handed with our whole faces as if snorkeling and without thinking finally, thank you. Right into every single one.
Kahina. One. Manat. Inam Sabahan. Almost still a boy. Stalky. As a reed. A rod. Your words on my ear. The desert in your voice. Even here water flows in murmurs. Like your uncle's caravan. Like years. Certain aches, like the life of the starved stray on your black dog's fangs, snarls dark as winter crop thunderclouds, like questions, the sieve of a body dying, eyes on mine, anything but quiet. Blood on my bloody arms. You chided. Such a girl to let her hands into the mouths of curs. 2. Uza. Salam alaikum. The only haven to which I belong, what you have revealed. For it, any wilderness, the recitations of armor on the day of battle. My heart is a box full of swords. Pray you do not open it, or pry it so. Whom a blade may slay, it may also deliver. 3. Alat. Wa alaikum salam. You were horizon to my wandering, grackle to my earth shadow. Your call, a foot trail, sudden out of brush, a spring amid death sand. Now you are my plectrum, I your plucked string. Thus I will sing mercy, even if not yours. Fever I know, and noon heat, and the break of fever, cool sleep that sates, the bite of thorns, the body's self-love bent on healing. Not why, but that otherwise is silence. Of this I sing, you the miles, and I the feet, I the sore, and you the callous, I the sea, you the shell, you the flesh, and I the peril.
My great-grandmother died almost 20 years before I was born, hit by a train near Branford, Florida, a very Southern Gothic way to go. I grew up with her stories. Pinches of snuff filled her mouth. Pinches left bruises on your arm. She was a witch. The black snakes crawled as she whistled. There were nail-covered photos on the side of her barn, songs to the cypress trees. Her daughter shared these things, all told with affection, enthusiasm, awe. There is a life after life for those who are a good story. I'd like to thank you all for joining me here today with good words to start the week. If you'd like to hear your own poetry, prose, spoken word here, get in touch at ruralgloom.com. That's ruralgloom.com. If you'd like to support poetry, spoken word, story here on WGOT, just head to WGOT.org and donate. Thank you.